Moncrief on News Talk.
You could collect art, and also, of course, regard it as an investment, but you would need to know a good deal about that. So are there any other luxury items that might, over time, increase in value? Watches, handbags, cases of wine? Nicholas Charlembus is Managing Director with Alpha Wealth. Nicholas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So say it's a watch. You know, if you buy a very expensive high-end watch, and if you kept it in the box and didn't use it, would it become more expensive?
Generally speaking, Sean, and I know this may sound a bit of a surprise to some of your listeners, but some watches have appreciated year on year. And as you said, it is on the very high expense end, typically the likes of a Rolex or a Patek Philippe. And yes, you need to know a little bit about, obviously, that market. It's not really for the faint-hearted. And I've had experiences of clients who have, believe it or not, made quite a bit of money from that space. But also, I have spoken to clients who have lost quite a bit as well. So it is one of these things that you probably need to know a little bit more about the actual items than just to buy it as an investment, for example.
Okay. So even if it's an expensive Rolex, it could depreciate in value.
Absolutely. It's like every investment, Sean. It's dependent on demand and supply, and there are other factors. And it's not really one of these markets that's very liquid. You know, it doesn't have a daily price per se. Now, there are examples, and I did a little bit of research over the last few weeks around, you know, which watches have done better than others, typically what types of watches. But there's a number of different nuances, and it can be sometimes a little bit of a flat market. You know, it's not really for, you know, a quick sale, for example, and that's where people have typically lost money in that particular space.
Right, okay. Now, handbags, you can pay astronomical amounts of money for top-end designer handbags. Do they go up in price?
That was an area that I wasn't as familiar with. My lovely wife has kind of given me a bit more of an education into that. But the Birkin, which is through the Hermès brand, has actually gone up year on year since 1980. And interestingly, you know, it has performed well as an investment. But again, like that, it's really knowing a little bit more about what makes these particular items attractive to buyers. They need to be kept in pristine condition, of course, you know, so it's not that you can use them for personal reasons. And being, I suppose, some bit, I suppose, lucky as well around the fact that there is a demand. And my fear always in this particular space as an investment manager is that it is very much dependent on the environment. These things can obviously perform well, but in certain markets, they can obviously drastically fall in value. And then you've got the majority of, I suppose, these luxury items, Sean, that whilst, again, even by, you know, doing a little bit of research, it all sounds fine. They're not quite maybe always as straightforward as they might seem. You know, art is one example. You know, it's definitely something that you need to know quite a bit about the market for rather than just liking a piece of art and feeling that it might be a good investment for you.
Yeah, because I am. Is it the case that even if you do know a bit about art, that artists perhaps can fall out of favour and so their works depreciate in value?
Absolutely, Sean. And as I said, I've dealt with many clients over many years that there isn't, an absolute formula to success when it comes to these so-called luxury items. And my worry always is, and it's an interesting, I suppose, topic, but think about, you know, for example, for art, you have to look at long-term, you know, you have to see this as being very patient, recognizing that there may be trends and seeing it more, you know, as to almost like kind of like a lifestyle choice and recognizing that you could end up maybe waiting many years to try and sell a piece of art, which is why I'd be a little bit more fearful of being in that particular, you know, obviously sector.
Yeah, indeed. Now, one would have thought if you're buying crates of wine and you know who you're buying it from, and, you know, it's a, a top-notch vineyard, that will always appreciate in value, or is that not the case?
In general, Sean, I'm very familiar with the whiskey industry. I've been involved with a number of whiskey investments through various different guises. And again, that would have been seen to be a fairly kind of solid investment opportunity. But then even if you look at more recent times with the likes of tariff regimes that have obviously gone on mostly through the States, and it's affected the industry. And wine isn't dissimilar. I mean, obviously, wine can go off. So there's always a fear that the actual product can get spoiled. But that, depending on certain circumstances, can always also have an effect. So I don't think it's kind of a linear line. Of course, you do stick to, you know, as you said, the more recognized vineyards. You obviously would have an understanding of typically what would have performed well and what might do. But my fear is that there's just so many different, I suppose, interactions and the world as we have it. As I mentioned, whiskey would have been an investment that many people would have taken advantage of, particularly here in Ireland. You know, we've had a lot of success with Irish whiskey, but the industry has become very thwart in recent times, and that's not been any fault of the actual distillers. This has been mostly down to kind of global events that unfortunately have had an impact.
Right. And what kind of global events would have an impact on the cost of whiskey? If you buy a bottle of whiskey today and it's already 40 years old, let's say, and you wait another 20, surely that's going to become more expensive.
Not necessarily, Sean, because of the fact that, again, it's down to demand and supply. So if you think about it again, it's all about, you know, the market that's out there. Who's going to buy this whiskey? And if it's a case that we've seen recently, and obviously took effect last year, where US investors are very paramount, but because there's a tariff now that's been introduced, now it's been somewhat alleviated, but it meant that whiskey was badly affected. Now, that may not necessarily survive for a long period, so if you can wait it out, you may benefit. And then it's more in sort of keeping with the actual industry itself. You know, a lot of people try and buy whiskey, you know, at an early stage to take it through its process, typically kind of over a four-year period, and then try and get value for that. And we've seen a situation where these have been unfortunately suspended because of the global regime that's taken place. And there's more competition as well. You know, we're seeing that. There's more distillers that are coming into play. So unless you're at that really, really high-end level, the rest of the market can be affected. And I'd say it's the same for many other of these luxury show items.
My word, that's interesting. Nick, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Nicholas Charlenbus there, Managing Director at Alpha Wealth. Somebody says, does this mean if I can tell my husband to buy me a Rolex because it's a good investment? Absolutely, 100%. Hopefully you'll outlive him. You probably will anyway. And that way he'll never know it wasn't. I have a bottle of Inish Turk Beg Maiden Voyage in box, closed, etc. How much is it worth today? Well, I Googled that. And there's a website called whiskeybidders.com. And it doesn't say when it sold. But a bottle of that did sell for €640. So if you paid less than that, you're kind of quids in there, I would have thought.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.